Father Jim O'Keefe, you're working for the Diocese of Newcastle and Hexham, and you're in charge of a project called Forward Together in Hope. So what's the thinking behind this project?
Well, it's been very clear to lots of people over many years, really, that it would be good to have a fairly major rethink about how we use the resources we have. It's become clear that over the last 30 or 40 years, there's been a decline in the number of people who come to worship. There's a serious decline in the number of men who are offering themselves in terms of being ordained as priests. At the same time, we have the same number of buildings. So these kind of things have prompted the review and the developments that we're looking at. And for those of us who are intimately involved in it, the bottom line is the question, how do we ensure that all those who want to worship in our churches, and there'll be about 36, 37,000 every weekend in our diocese, how do we ensure that in future these people become disciples of Jesus? It's not that they're not disciples now, of course they are, but how do we deepen our sense of discipleship in a very changing world and in a very changing church? So Forward Together in Hope is an invitation to everyone in the Diocese of Hexham and Newcastle to engage in this discussion and reflection, with a view to enabling Bishop Seamus Cunningham, our bishop, to, in a couple of years' time, have some sense of where the energy is, where the strengths are, where people need support, and how we can shape ourselves into the future.
And it sounds to me that the challenges that you're facing here in the North, they're the same challenges that many churches are facing as we live and we all minister in changing times.
I think that's absolutely right. That, and I think the similar questions are being asked by the Methodist Church, by the Church of England, the colleagues of mine who were ministers along there in Scotswood and Benwell and Dentonburn and Elswick when I was working as a parish priest until last September. Similar kind of questions there as well. And I think it's really quite important if we take the opportunity to ask them together, so that it's not each denomination that's looking at this on their own. We've got to, but so we're not just on our own, that when we have the opportunity, that we explore together what it means to be a disciple, to be a witness to Jesus in the world we're living in now. I mean, here we are just coming up to a general election. It would be really important that people who are Christians get together and reflect on the key issues, which may not actually be the key issues that politicians are putting before us, but the key issues, so that in some way we're a voice with an advantage of having pondered the scriptures and read the scriptures and know the person of Jesus, have a voice in contributing to the debate and how we want our country to be run. I'm sure that's better done ecumenically than denominationally.
From what I've heard Bishop Seamus sharing, listening to each other, prayer, seeking the guidance from the Holy Spirit are key elements of preparing for change.
Change is tough. It is very, very difficult. None of us really volunteer for it every morning. But when we think that in the 1980s, there were around 100,000 people worshipping in our churches, and that now there are about 36,500, the number of churches is still around. Although I think some of my colleagues are a little shocked when I tell them since the 1960s, 26 churches in the Catholic Diocese of Hexham Newcastle actually have closed. But we still have over 170 churches in our community, the same number as we've had for many years, with a number of people reduced. Now, how do we maintain that, both in terms of fabric and in terms of worship, when we have fewer priests to lead us in Eucharistic celebrations of Mass? So change is tough. And really the only way, I think, that we'll come through this honorably is if we open our minds and hearts to the Holy Spirit, who's beckoning us to discover new things as to how to be disciples, how to worship, with whom we worship, different styles of leadership, different ways of cooperating with our local schools, different ways of sharing the resources we have, taking the risk to allow young people to have more influence over the way we worship and the way we decide things. Young people have enormous energy and imagination. Some of us can find that a wee bit daunting, but that's the Holy Spirit present in our community, so let's listen to them. So it's only if we trust, really, in the Holy Spirit and the guidance of the Holy Spirit that we'll have the courage, I think, to come through and be more confident into the future.
And what might you see as the elephant in the room?
The tough thing for people is a simple question: is our church going to close? And I'm avoiding that question, not because I'm afraid of it. I've actually been a parish priest of parishes where one of the parishes I was parish priest, the church closed. So I know exactly what it can feel like. That's the tough one. And it's tough because over decades and decades, we've, in so many ways, quite rightly, encouraged people to emphasize their place of worship. It's been part, it's a key part of their tradition. It's a building that's permanent, that is there as a witness. It's where they were married, where their parents were married, and so on. The tough question is that one. You know, will our church close? I'm avoiding that question because the more important question is, how do we ensure that we're disciples in the future rather than where do we celebrate? That's the tough one. And I'm not surprised that people are finding it very, very difficult. I spent almost 30 years in the seminary at Ashore, 13 as a student, 9 as a member of staff, and 8 as the boss. And it closed in 2012. And emotionally, I found that very difficult, having vested a fair chunk of my life as a learner, as a teacher, and as a principal. But we have to grow through this. We have to learn that the Spirit is maybe beckoning us to a less stable understanding of where we worship and be more open to fluctuation and flexibility in the future. Those are not my decisions to make. My emphasis really is on enabling people to explore how do we become disciples in the world we're in now.
As you travel around the church communities, are you being surprised with some of the imaginative things that you're actually discovering that people are doing that you had no idea were going on?
Well, in the last 3 or 4 months, I've visited 28 parishes, so there are more worshipping communities, and every one of them is different. And I must say, in every one of them, I've been made very welcome. And the hard questions that people are asking, well, that one, you know, well, are we going to be all right? Well, yeah, we'll be all right because we're in God's hands. But it's not the answer they want, but the answer they kind of get, really. But I've discovered all sorts of things are going on. In Sunderland, for example, the Filipino community, once a month, having an all-night vigil to pray for all, forward together in hope. Just this morning, an invitation to a community up in Ashington, an all-night vigil on the 12th of June. Can you come along and join us for at least part of it? Certainly, no problem. St. Dominic's Parish, just up the hill from here, in the centre of Newcastle, have a vigil this Friday night. All sorts of things going on. Lots of the DVD we produced actually has been shown in many churches as a discussion starter for lots of groups that are gathering together to prepare for the big piece of work, the questionnaire that's going to be coming out just after Pentecost. So there are all sorts of things going on, which I found really quite exciting. And there's a good level of energy in lots of the communities. Now, okay, there's another 130-odd communities to visit, and I suspect it'll be tougher in the months ahead. But at the moment, the energy level is good, the imagination is good, and the commitment of many, many people is really outstanding.
You've got a piece of print here, which is a prayer, and you had, is it 40,000 copies produced?
We had some 40,000, and we've distributed them all, and the people are now asking for more, and I think we're in danger of having to reprint, which is good. Lots of parishes have this printed on their newsletter and pray it every week, and some parishes pray it every day. And I think we need to pray, because once people do receive this questionnaire with those 10 headings, it's going to be a really important task of self-evaluation. What honestly and prayerfully are the circumstances we're in now? And what do we imagine we'll be able to do to ensure flourishing and viability into the future? So this prayer is really the way in which we're inviting everyone. We've also made an effort to ensure that people who live at home or who live alone or who are housebound to join us in prayer, and people who are commissioned to bring Holy Communion to the sick, we have prepared a little prayer service for them to initiate them into being part of our community, our praying community. So when they're at home in their own little cathedral in front of the fire, in front of the mantelpiece, if they have this prayer card on it, they can join us every day or as often as they wish, really. So it's interesting the way that this is being taken very seriously, and we're delighted about that.
Father Jim, thanks for coming into Premier to share with us how Forward Together with Hope is going. And can we just close? Can you read the prayer for us?
Glory be to the Father, in whom we live and move and have our being. Glory be to the Son, whose name we bear, and who calls each of us to be his disciples, to build his kingdom, and to go out into the world and bear its fruit. Glory be to the Holy Spirit, pouring out grace and guidance, forming us and renewing us, inspire us all in the Diocese of Hexham and Newcastle to live the gospel, to be open to change, and to move forward together in hope.